Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daniel Day Podcast, a podcast all about discipleship and leadership. I'm Daniel Day, your host. Welcome to the program. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you with us. I'm Daniel Day, your host, and right now I have the extreme honor of introducing to you Pastor Tracy Harris. He is the leader and founder of Harvest International Ministries. He's also the lead pastor and founder of Family Word Church. Pastor Tracy, welcome to the podcast.
Well, it's a joy, Brother Daniel, and it's thrilling to get to meet you and all the great things you're doing, especially in this last hour of human history. So what a joy to be connected today.
Amen. Well, I'm going to have you open us up with a quick word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing over our interview today.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, by the authority of the name that is above every name, I'm asking that you would grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts being enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance on us, your saints. May this broadcast, because you send your word and heal them, plural, there's miracles and multiples, today this word will not return void, and may this word go forth unabated by any force. May the hearer have ears to hear and eyes to see, and Father, enlighten our understanding to know the greatness, the exceeding greatness of your power that comes toward us when we believe it, according to the working of your mighty power that you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead. At this moment, no word is void of power to do the impossible. May the hearer know that there's a miracle for their moment to bring them out, to put them over, to grant them an answer, and to fuel them for the future. And we thank you for it in the mighty, awesome name above every name. We ask it and believe we receive it in that great name. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Tracy, it's a great honor to get to meet you. Actually, full disclosure to our audience, this is my first time having the pleasure of getting to visit with Pastor Tracy. And I just want to say how much I appreciate him already. Before the broadcast began and before we began recording the interview, Pastor Tracy took some time to really just encourage me and pour into my life as a young leader and somebody who is definitely in that son category. Amen. When we think about, you know, your age and my age and how many years you've been in ministry. And I just want to say thank you for taking some time off air. You know, not all of my guests have done that. You know, it's a lot of times it's just, hey, let's get on with the interview. Let's get on with this. I've got other things to do. But, you know, you really took time to pour into my life. And I can't wait to see what you're going to say to those listening today. Brother Tracy, welcome.
Well, it's such a joy, Brother Dan. You're very kind. And, you know, an opening remark to your remarks, because those are so kind. And I'm always extremely humbled that God somehow out of 8 billion people would choose this clay and anoint it in such a way that words of grace could come to crease your life, you know, to do an eternal task. It really humbles me what we're allowed to do for the King in this hour. So the reality of it is that, you know, I've told people that teachers teach what they know, but ministry is more about impartation than teaching, because you teach what you know, but you impart who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture talks about you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. And yeah. I totally get the fact that there are people clamoring for spiritual sons, for identity, and it's initiated on the father's end of things and all of that. But the bottom line is, one man said to me one time, and I thought it was great, I can't improve on it, how that when Mary came and Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist in her womb at 6 months, ready 3 months away from John the Baptist being born, 6 months older than Jesus, and Mary's had this visitation from the angel, Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, right? And when she hears the salutation, John the Baptist leapt in the womb, and the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. One man said it this way, and I can't improve on it. So you kind of know who you're connected with when their voice makes your baby leap.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I would say to you is, anybody that's watching today, is we have such a clamoring of voices. I really feel like prophetically there's something I needed to kind of say before we get into the meat of the other, and it's this. that Daniel says in Daniel 7:25, that in the last days, the Antichrist demon will speak great words against the Most High God and seek to wear out the saints and think to change times and laws and so forth. But right now, I'm seeing more and more Christian leaders and their families barraged and worn out by the plethora of the pressure of meeting society's demands, the opinions of the people, what they think church ought to be. And the truth is, the big problem is they're putting all the voices clamoring for their attention on the same level. And one of the things you have to do as a leader and as a young minister is decide right now. Jesus said, my sheep know me. They hear my voice. They follow me. The voice of a stranger they won't follow. You've got to decide right now to stop searching the earth and cherry picking what you think fits your vision. And decide right now, Jesus said very clearly that he is the Father's the husbandman. He's the vine. We're the branch. And I don't know if it ever occurred to you that there can be no fruit on the branch without the vital connection to the vine.
Amen.
Because when the branch gets cut off, it's the life of the vine that produces the fruit, not what the branch is so good at doing. So you need to understand right now that covenant connections, supernatural awareness, that not every voice holds the same influence in your life. It's okay to be taught and glean. You eat the straw, you spit out the sticks. But there are those that you get divinely connected to that carry the grace of covering and fathering in your life. And here's why you need to know it. Because teachers can impart knowledge. Fathers, only fathers can beget. You know, you think of a father, it means they have sons. They have the ability to reproduce. Spiritual fathering is all about begetting something. In other words, it's the idea of the apostolic that touches all the leadership gifts. It's the idea that someone prophetically and apostolically can see a gift in you you don't see within yourself. Somehow they bring it out, they refine it, they dust it off, they show it to you, and they say, you can do all things through Christ. You're supposed to do this. Get a wider picture, you know, kick out your 5x7 frame into God's 16x20 dream for your life. And find out those voices you're connected to that make your baby leap. Because the truth is, the reason Jesus was the leader he was is his words were full of power. They were astonished at his doctrine because not only did his words carry power and weight, but they produced mighty works.
Yeah.
One great, great missionary statesman over the years on 6 continents and, you know, 500,000 people in his meeting at a time, 90 blind eyes opening, 125 deaf mutes. I mean, the stories go on. And many people have read the doctrine, the books of T.L. Osborne. But he said two things, many things. But of these two right now for this podcast that really crease us, one of them is this: the gospel was never meant to be explained. It was designed to be announced.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you, we cannot preach from head knowledge. We've got to preach from revelation knowledge. A firsthand revelation is what it's going to take to cut through the gross darkness of this hour. And number two, because the gospel is not up for debate, whether it's true or not, we announce it by faith. I don't mean crudely. I don't mean in such a way that it's hard. Jesus is the most tolerant person that we've ever met. But yeah. I mean with such conviction that when you speak by faith, Jesus said, whatsoever you say to that mountain will remove to yonder place. The reason most preaching doesn't get miracles is the preachers are trying to preach something to elicit a response versus preaching what they believe. Mm. When you have revelation of something and you preach from your spirit, your words will move the mountain out of the hearer's life. I'm telling you, I learned that in the Philippines. First time a boy, 9 years old, deaf, mute, I took authority over those spirits. And his first words were, Jesus, and his ears opened, and the crowd went wild, and great tumors dissolved, and people began to walk, and Jesus proved he's alive, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I asked the Lord later, okay, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So Lord, help me to understand that boy couldn't hear what I was saying. So how did he have faith to believe, receive his miracle? And the Lord made it very clear to me by the working of miracles, it wasn't just the boy's faith. It was the fact that I believed what I was saying when I said it, faith in that name. Everything I preached, I believed it. And therefore, because that name has authority over everything of being in three worlds, when I gave the command in the name of Jesus, that deaf, dumb demon had no choice but to remove hence to yonder place instantly, his ears opened. So the greatest thing we could ever do to get eternal fruit is preached by faith from revelation on the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have no right to preach our own message. There isn't but one message. Glory to God. And we are the available mud. You got me stirred up. I apologize. I'm stirred up right now because the spirit of Antichrist is trying to overwhelm young ministers and get them to throw up their hands and faint and quit and say, it's too big and I can't do this. And how do I do this? And your job is not to run around trying to figure it out. Your job is to cast your care over on God because he cares for you and stay on point. Get your assignment done at all costs. And that's hard to do when you're not absolutely sure you're assigned to do it and anointed to do it. If you're fishing for the will of God, you're not yet at the place to do anything great. That's the difference between the 10 spies who said, it's not time yet. We're not able. The cities are walled. And the two that had the spirit of faith, another spirit was with Caleb and Joshua. They said, let us go up at once. Their defense has departed from them. And today, more than we've ever needed it, we need some modern day Davids to stare down these modern day Goliaths. That's we need mighty men and women for these mighty times. But get this, you're born and you're not an accident. There's a last day's anointing and you're born for this hour. So,
Pastor Tracy, that's so good. And I'm sure I'm not the one that got you stirred up there. That's the Holy Spirit.
I hope so. I believe it.
You know, and as I've begun to get better acquainted with your ministry over the last few weeks in preparation for our time together today, I've noticed that same passion that you're showing on the screen today. You've been showing it in your church and in all the places you've been traveling to and speaking to. You've been having that same urgency in your voice, that same passion in your voice. And you've been going through all the same stuff that we've been going through. You've been going through the pandemic. You've been having to pivot your ministry and figure out how to handle this new season we're all in over the last couple of years. What have you been doing to stay on point personally? How have you personally navigated this time so that your passion for the Lord has not waned? That's actually seemed to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you might have been this way your whole life, but it seems like there's another level happening in your spirit right now. And so how did you get there?
Well, that's quite a big question. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to kind of help us articulate to the point here, but you know, number one, the scripture makes it very clear that there is nothing that shall be which has not already been. So just because technology has changed and knowledge has increased and it looks like our world is different, the sameness of Jesus remains. The bottom line is that no principle of God and no spiritual law has changed with the times. The scripture calls in Genesis and in Galatians 4, Paul called times and observing days and seasons and whatever the beggarly elements. And, I guess maybe I could say it this way. The scripture says in Daniel chapter 12, when he talks about a time of trouble at the end, like he's never visited planet Earth, but he says, all those that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered. And I'm telling you, the key is finding yourself in the book. I'm telling you, you need to understand the word of God is the power to deal with this dark hour. Men's hearts will fail them for fear, Luke said, the prophecy of Jesus. Jesus said it, Luke recorded it. Through the signs in the heavens and the earth and the powers of the earth being shaken, men's hearts will fail them for fear. But when we go back to the idea of what Daniel said, is Daniel said they'll go to and fro, meaning that speed will be increased, travel will be increased, knowledge will be increased. And I've heard many a sermon talk about technology and computers and knowledge and all that's great. But remember, this is a supernatural Holy Ghost book. It's a Bible book. It's authored by the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and hovered over the planet, created the world. It's the wisdom of God. And Isaiah 33:6 says, wisdom and knowledge are the stability of our times. So this is a spiritual book. So he's not talking about natural knowledge increasing. Actually, if you'll go back and research the Hebrew and then either other translations, you'll find that he's saying that hidden in the prophets before the return of the Lord, according to Acts 3:21, what Peter said, was that the heavens must retain Jesus until the times of the restoration of all the prophets have spoken since the world began. So this time we're in is not a dark time. It's a dark time for the world, but for the covenant people, it's like a Goshen. This is our harvest time. This is our greatest hour. We need to understand this is the early and latter rain moment. This is the glory storm moment. This is what we've been spending our lives to get to. And to understand that, the knowledge increasing is not talking about technological knowledge. That's secondary because it happened in the unseen first and we're having it explode now after 6,000 years in the seen. What he's talking about is knowledge through God's prophets as revealed by the prophets led by the Spirit concerning this hour will become great. Time has louvered. You know, when we were kids, we had blinds that would be long like this and you could turn them and you couldn't see into the backyard. We had sliding windows but every once in a while you'd leave them open, a little light in. What's interesting about the room is if you got up to walk across the room, now some of you may not be familiar with this and you may be too young to remember those long, thick blinds, but you could stand in one side of the room and as you're looking, you can't see anything through that window. But as you walk, it's louvered. When you look back through it, it's like a clear view. The blind doesn't obstruct you at all. You see the whole backyard. That's what time has done for us prophetically. There were things that were sealed, concealed, now ready to be revealed. And they're coming off, hurtling off the printed page for knowledge in this hour to know how to deal with these times. There's an administration suitable to the fullness of this moment. As we walk down the course of our life and ministry, what was once veiled to us, all of a sudden it's louvered. Time louvered it. And we look back and we see so clearly. And God is saying to us that, now we're going to search quickly to and fro, and some revelation is going to come so suddenly that's going to bring us out of our lion's dens. It's going to take us out of our fiery furnaces. It's going to open our Red Seas. The God who brought the former rain moderately is about to pour out in just measure the great grace of God to deal with this dark hour. And I'm telling you, you're going to stare some demons down, but you're coming out on top. Persecution and afflictions may arise, but Paul said, out of them all the Lord delivered me. So I would simply say to you in the answer to the question, and I'm really not off point here, is that's what happened. I had an open vision 3 days prior to 2020. I was praying and interceding, getting ready for our year-end service, and the wall disappeared, and I saw the whole world turning, excuse me, and began shaking violently like this. And as it shook, I saw borders changing, finances changing, economies falling, government shifting, changing, and the Lord said, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that's before the pandemic, before anything prophetically looking into the future. And then the Lord said to me very clearly, he said to me, this decade, now this was 3 days prior to 2020, shall be known as the decade of deliverance. Mm. And he said, a new generation of deliverers is being born.
Amen.
I think what we're focusing on is we're focusing on the darkness too much. We're focusing on the spirit of Antichrist too much. I'm talking about body-wide, leader-wide, they've got their head down dealing with what is. Instead of administrating from the right seat, we're seated in the heavenlies with Jesus with all authority, power, and might. We have what others don't have, and that is the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. And one of the things I would say to you about the shaking, and by the way, 2022, it's not going to get better. It's going to grow a little bit worse. But you don't need to get distracted by that because the shaking is not the devil. The coronavirus didn't do it. He didn't send it. He didn't send the curse. He redeemed us from the curse. The shaking is the fulfillment of Haggai the prophet. Hebrews 12 says so. The Lord said, yet once more, I will shake. And he does it with words. He has spoken. And the purpose of the shaking is not to shake things away from you, not to split your church, not to prune everything. No, no, no. Purpose of the shaking is to shake everything that can be shaken so that what we're left with is an unshakable kingdom, meaning it says we receiving an unshakable kingdom. So get clear right now, the shaking time is the body of Christ receiving time. Mm-hmm. You're about to see a sudden, supernatural, unusual flow of supply, harvest, unexpected miracles, right in the middle of gross darkness in the Babylonian system. And God is going to show up and show out because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It is revelation knowledge of understanding clearly about that and the fact that I had a role in this new generation deliverers arising in this decade, which is why we're talking to you today. This is not an accident. This is a divine appointment. You need to know that you are born for such a time as this. You will be an arrow shot in the very heart of darkness. You are God's answer to a lost and dying world. You can do all things through Christ. His grace is sufficient. His anointing is powerful. You can get it done, but you can't do it in your own strength. And you can't do it with a secondhand revelation. When I saw the world shaking and everything he said to me came to pass, and then he talked to me about 2021, we're in the early part of the decade, but I'm telling you right now, the shaking time is not a defeat time. It's not a discouragement time. It's not a lockdown time. It is our receiving time. Now's the time for us to stand up, step up, step out, and step in. So that revelation alone, I was already probably like Mach 5 with my hair on fire because of the visitations of Jesus I've had and the assignment. And we've always loved preachers. But that visitation alone told me the urgency of the hour. So I just want to tell you the Holy Spirit, not driven in a fleshly way, not driven to wear you out and cause you to faint, it'll cost your harvest, but driven in such a way that we have a divine dissatisfaction to do less than the fullness of what he's called us to do. And I guess I'd say this and kick it back to you, Brother Daniels, is that Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And I'm just telling you, no matter where you are, no matter how discouraged you are, no matter what it feels like right now, no matter if you need a breath, I want you to know there's a finishing anointing that's going to sit upon you like a mantle. You're going to finish this race with great glory. You got a kick left in you. Glory be to God. And just like the temple laid there almost 20 years with just a foundation, in 52 days they erected it, and Zerubbabel said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Zechariah the prophet spoke to a civic leader, Joshua the priest, clearly rebuked the devil, gave him places to walk and miracle signs and wonders, and that temple came up. Whatever it is in your heart to build, I'm telling you, the grace to build and to finish is going to come on you to build his kingdom. So don't get discouraged in this hour. Get on point and get after it. You're not by yourself. Glory to God.
Amen. Pastor, I really appreciate that. And it's very rich to listen to you talk, because what you're saying is firmly rooted in the Word of God and in a obvious call of God to speak into the lives of this up and coming generation. Someone recently brought to my attention, I'm not going to be able to quote them exactly, but just something to the point of, if God picked you for this time, he must have really felt you could do it. You know, if he really picked you for this time, if you're not alive in the 1950s, you're not alive in the early 1900s or the 1970s, right? Right now, you're alive in 2021. God picked you to minister during this time, during this hour, for a reason, that if he called you to live now, then he's going to grace you with the anointing to do what now requires. And absolutely. So I would like for you to just speak specifically to the minister who is half a step away from going and selling used cars. They just have looked at how things are. Their Bible college didn't train them for this. They didn't sign up for this. They were told they could go and pastor a church professionally and make a good living. And now they showed up, and it's spiritual warfare left and right. And so what would you say to that young man or young woman who is just half a step away from quitting? And how might you encourage them right now?
Well, I've got two things to say. The first one, I want to tap into what you said, Brother Daniel. It was so eloquent and aptly said out of your mouth. God used you there to encourage them, even in the question and the comments. The Lord said to me literally within the last week, he pointed out Revelation 12 and said, woe unto you inhabitants of the earth. Satan has come down to you in great wrath. He knows he has but a short time. And it's like the binoculars. If you look through the wrong ends, it looks small and very far away. You need to flip them around and look through the proper end. And the Lord flipped that around for me, saw it from his perspective. And I saw that if Satan has a short time, what that means is everything God promised you must come to pass now in a short time. You need to realize, for God to do all he promised he would do before the end, Satan knowing he has a short time means your harvest is coming soon. Suddenly, the very God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. You know, Galatians chapter 6 tells us that we will reap in due season if we faint not. You need to realize that fainting is a sign of deception. It says, be not deceived. This is Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll of the flesh reap corruption, which means it's decaying, it's death, it's subject to it. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life and life everlasting. That Zoe, that's life as God has it. Everlasting is the Greek word for abiding, constant, consistent. That's not we get to go to heaven when we die. That is we have access to the very life of God, the river of life, the tree of life that's living on the inside of us as the temples of the Holy Spirit, to burn like the angel in the bush Moses saw, and yet the bush not be consumed. Understand right now that the one that's pushing on you to faint, be not deceived. God is not mocked whatsoever a man sows. There's three entities there. We know Satan's the deceiver. God's not mocked whatsoever a man sows. So there's the devil, God, and a man. And the man has more to do with his harvest than God or the devil. Scripture says, be not deceived. So you let no man deceive you by any means, Paul said. So a person that gets deceived is actually willing to believe a lie. And the lie is you're operating in the sight realm and you're not staying up here in the faith realm to know that God is faithful to 1,000 generations. The word actually does work, and you cannot get discouraged by looking at what you're facing right now. Truly, the whole reason you're in that situation is you're the one to change it. When the Lord spoke about building the old waste places to me once years ago, I pastored in a little city called Ashdown. And the reason that they named it Ashdown, it was the end of the line where the train came and they dumped the ashes, and it was the, they take the down to the, in other words, it's the ash down. So down at the end of the line, they dump the ashes. So it's an ash heap, and I'm pastoring a church on an ash heap. I said, God, why'd you send me here? Why is it so small? And he said, son, there's only two reasons people live in small towns and do small things. He said, one, they like small, they live small, they want small. He said, that's hard to change. He said, but number two, he said, they're assigned to something small because they're sent there to change it. And he said, how can you raise up the foundations of many generations if I don't send you to a waste place? How can you raise it up? And it just totally changed the picture for me that the people weren't coming to church for me. I was there for them, that I carried what they needed. They don't know what they needed. They're lost and undone. And that I couldn't move by what I saw, that the people, the coming, the attendance, the money wasn't the validation of the ministry. That one day I would stand before him all alone and none of them would stand there with me and I would serve at the applause of one. You know, I've never told this, but about four or five times all these years, but I had a bunch of leaders come against me once in a church, and it's too long to tell at the end of this podcast, but I was distraught to the point to where I've never been this way very long, but I was literally under my desk in a fetal position, Satan doing everything he could to break my back as a young preacher early in the ministry, because he knew I would never be doing today what I'm doing if he could get me right there at that moment of the breaking point. And Jesus, well, I hadn't told this. This has got to be a divine moment, Brother Daniel. Jesus, about 3 a.m, you want to talk about passion? You want to know why I'm passionate? He appeared at the foot of my bed. And I sat up, and he was so loving. He stood there with his arms out, and he was so loving. And he looked as you might imagine him to look. And he said, the next time somebody asks you who you're accountable to, and he was so loving, he said, you tell them, you're accountable to me. Because, I mean, they were calling me on the carpet for stuff, and my integrity was rich and right. But, you know, it was a spirit of accusation that was totally bogus. And they tried to get me just throw up my hands and quit the ministry. The devil was using people. I'd had a dream about demons sitting on two shoulders of two different people. Those are the two people that came against me. And some of you are, somebody's going through this right now. So this is why I'm talking to you about this, right? But then this is the point I'm trying to make. He said, the next time somebody asks you who you're accountable to, you tell them you're accountable to me. And he said, and you tell them. And he was so loving. And when he said, and you tell them, I'm telling you, in a moment, his face, whoo, it literally morphed. His eyes became like coals. His hair went white, and he was glowing, and his voice thundered. And he pointed at me with his right index finger, and he said, and you tell them, that is no light matter. And when he said that, lightning shot out of the end of his fingertip, hit me in the chest, and knocked me back in the bed. And I sat there and shook and vibrated for about 2 or 3 hours. And I realized that he's loving, he's awesome, that mercy triumphs over judgment, but you're going to stand before the God of all glory.
Phew,
Jesus. And you're not going to answer to your church board, and you're not going to answer to anybody around you. And if you give up and quit, you're going to answer to him. Because out of 8 billion people, He said he were born for this moment to deliver his people. And, you know, Paul got visited by Jesus. And one of the things that was said to him, this rocked my world. There were some things the Lord asked me to do. One of them is things like this, this podcast, the international television, and all the things that we're doing, and we haven't even only just begun. I had pulled back. I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want my family on the radar. I was on every major Christian network, and I saw Christian entertainment. I'm just being real blunt. I'm being real transparent. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm changing somebody's life, and I know it in my heart because I'm human, and it's the same devil, and we face the same issues. And I saw all the Christian entertainment, and I saw their ungodly lifestyles behind the camera, and I saw them put on the face and preach, and that anointing came because, see, the grace comes, and this without repentance. But the bottom line is your character is who you are in the dark. And when I didn't see them the same out of the pulpit as they were in the pulpit, I got disillusioned. And I saw all of this hype and them using gifts to manipulate and get part and all that, and I wanted none of it. And it caused me to do the wrong thing because I realized offense is never right no matter what it is. You can have a bright judgment, but you just can't get offended at it. And I pushed back at divine open doors. And now the Lord had to visit me, and he visited me out of the book of Acts. And he talked to me about the Apostle Paul. And he talked to me about right now, what we're doing right now. And this is, I know it's not live television and appointment television. We're on that. We're on that daily. And we're on several networks. And that's continuing to expand and be on two or three more this year. But this is just as much a divine appointment, the technology, the video. And it's out there. Once it gets out there, anybody can watch it. Anybody can download it. They can write ugly books about you. And we can't run and duck our head in fear. You know, and the Lord woke me up one morning, and he gave me this in Acts 26, where Paul was talking to King Agrippa about the visitation he had when he was knocked off the donkey on Damascus and he was called by the Lord Jesus. And here's what it said. He said, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" And this is verse 9 now, Acts 26, 9. "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." And now he's talking about, you know, stoning Stephen and putting him in jail and so forth. He said, "Which thing I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." I apologize because this is another divine moment. I don't know what it is in you, Brother Daniel, but you just poked a button here, and I'm saying things I never say. I'm talking to preachers, young Bible students. Time is of the essence. He woke me up and he gave me that verse. And he said, "Son, you can choose not to do this. You can pull back. You can have a nice little church, you know, be comfortable because you have enough faith. You know enough of the covenant. You can keep your family. You can live well. Or you can do what I've asked you to do, which is go into the ends of the earth with my healing and delivering power like I assigned you as I visited you." And he said, "Now, you don't have to go on television," he said, "but just know this. If you don't, because you're graced to do it, you'll be judged for it, whether you do it or not." He said, "And everyone that would have been delivered, everyone that would have been saved, every life that would have been changed, every good work in the kingdom that would have been done," he said, "you'll stand before me and give an account of what would have happened had you gone on television." And he said, "If you don't do it, if you don't use your voice to proclaim deliverance, if you don't use your voice to tell the world that I'm raised from the dead, that I'm redeemed from the curse, that Satan has no power, that he has been stripped, and that this is the only answer right now in this hour," he said, "if you don't do it, you'll be like Paul." He said, "Every person that goes to hell because they didn't hear your television program, because you didn't go preach to them, I will put their blood on your hands. I will count you, instead of using your voice to deliver them, I will count you to have used your voice in court to have given them the death sentence." He said that to me. It was another one of those divine moments.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So whether I do the ministry or not, I'm going to give an account for it. I'm not going to stand before you empty-handed. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to let the enemy win this one. He's defeated. He's stripped. You went to hell for me. I didn't deserve it. You rose from the dead. You totally destroyed his power. And I am too anemic, too fear-filled to rise up in a boldness and face my Goliath. No, sir, I will not do such a thing. And I'm talking to somebody right now, don't you dare quit. God has truly invigorated you with the very resurrection power to stand before him one day and hear, well done. Well done. And that's what Jesus said, my need is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. Somebody's life and ministry right now is being marked, increased in a way that you will, or you're being delivered. You're going to fulfill the rest of your ministry because you're hearing this moment. And you and I may never meet this side of heaven, but I guarantee you in the great tapestry of the kingdom, our lives have been destined to cross. And this voice will now, in judgment, right, come before the master. So hear me. The angel's hearing everything you're saying. And the scripture says in Malachi that when we encourage one another, in the day God makes up his crown, he has a book written with every word that's spoken to provoke one another to love and good works. And in that day, he's going to take everything you've said. He's going to put that jewel in that crown. Your crown's going to be made up of your faithfulness to speak the word of God, the truth in love, and build up the body of Christ. So whatever you are doing, whatever you're stressed with, there's a great escape. There's a way out, I promise. And Jesus is it. So call on that name. All that call on the name of the Lord should be delivered. So rise up, Pastor, and get your job done. You can do it.
Pastor, I think that is the perfect moment to go to the Lord in prayer. And I would love for you to just extend your hands towards the camera.
Absolutely.
And pray over us as Christians, Christian leaders, church leaders, believers who have a calling on their life to not grow weary in well-doing.
Absolutely.
To stay connected to the vine, to come unto him, for he will give us rest. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You know, we get burned out and we get heavy laden when we start picking up burdens God didn't call us to pick up. And so I would love for you to just pray for us and take us to the Lord and ask God's blessing over our lives as we prepare to enter a new year with him.
It'd absolutely be my honor to do that. And so I just, there's, you know, without elongating our podcast, which has been so rich, and you've been so gracious, Brother Daniel, this moment is a divine moment for us. I came into this moment, and I'm going to pray this out. I'm not going to teach it out, talk it out. I'm going to pray it out. But you need to know that when I was awakened, I asked the Lord, what specifically, what one thing is the capstone, the center pole of everything we'll talk about that really, and it's come down to this crux. The Apostle Paul said, I besought the Lord three times this might be taken from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient. And people, I know it really kind of challenges people's theology. What was the thorn? What was the thorn? But the bottom line is, the scripture identifies thorns as cares. And so probably as definitive as any other way, it's all of it. It's the messenger of Satan to buffet him. It was a demon spirit trying to get him to quit. And he said, besides all that which comes upon me without, that which comes on me daily, the care of the church. And the Lord told me, it's the taking under the care of the church. It's his church, not yours. So right now, if you will let him build his church and do it through you by the authority, the name, and the anointing he gave you and cast your care on him, something wonderfully supernatural is going to take place. It's going to be a suddenly for you.
Amen.
Father, by the authority of the name of Jesus, I bring these leaders to you now, even Brother Daniel and his church, and anyone that will ever hear this or come across by divine direction, this electronic recorded container of delivering power. Just like Jesus looked at Peter, addressed him with all his disciples and said, Peter, Satan has desired to have all of you that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your strength fail not. And when you are converted, boy, that was surely certain. You knew the end from the beginning and you saw that this was a speed bump on the road to Peter's destiny. And that he would be the one that would rise up under the anointing on that great day of Pentecost and birth the church. So no matter what the enemy was trying to do, break him down, sift him, break him, crush him to his finest component, you literally, because of your grace, moved on the inside of him and prayed for him that his faith fail not, and all of them in that moment of trial, so that when they were strengthened, and that was a prophecy that said, they shall surely be strengthened. And I say to everyone hearing me today, by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, be strengthened. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be bold and very courageous, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go to possess the land, and everything you put your hands to will prosper. Rise up with a new breath and a new fervency. I take authority over weariness, the demon spirit of accusation, the want to faint, and the weakness of the flesh. And I say right now, according to John 17, you said the Father's given the Son power over all flesh. So that the name of Jesus has power over flesh. And I say, flesh, be strengthened. You're a temporary container, but you have an excellency in this earthen vessel, that the power may be of God and not of you. So you rise up and be strong in the Lord, and you run and don't grow weary. You walk and you not faint. You mount up with wings as an eagle, and you will hit the mark. You will finish your race. You will run well. You will finish well. You will hear well done. And by the authority of the name of Jesus, there's an encouragement by the very presence of the Spirit of God around you, in you, on you, through you, in your mind, even now, the peace that passes understanding, that's garrisoning and mounting guard over your heart and mind. Put your mind on him, for he will keep you in peace, perfect peace. And so in the name of Jesus, in the binding power of Shalom itself, we bind the forces that would distract and divide you and what you put your hands to. We command recovery, for the thief is found. We command breakthrough and restoration. We command recompense. We command a turnaround, that you'll be a testament of the turnaround. And we say that the Lord will turn your captivity in this hour. He will be glorified, and he will glorify his Son in you today. In Jesus' name. Mighty men and women, go, do, and be. Get the work of the Lord done at all costs. And we'll see you at the end, at the finish line.
Glory. Amen. Pastor Tracy, this has been an incredible time together in the Lord's presence. It really is an honor to get to speak with you. Friends, we have been with Pastor Tracy Harris. He's the founder of Harvest International Ministries. He's also the lead pastor and founder of Family Word Church. Pastor Tracy, if there are any resources that you would like to bring our attention to, a website or books or anything at all that you would like to make our audience aware of so they can stay connected with you, what's the website, best place they can go?
Absolutely. And by the way, I wouldn't want to confuse anyone. And it's not on you, it's on us. More recently, within the last year, we changed the name of the church to Harvest Church TXK. TXK is the airport identifier, and we're in Texarkana. So you need to know it's Harvest International Ministries. So don't get confused if you go to the website and it doesn't say Family Word Church, because the church name has changed to Harvest Church TXK. And on the website, it's Experience Him, H-I-M, Harvest International Ministries, experiencehim.org. And you can go there. Another place you can go to get television broadcast and the flow of all the things that we do media wise is nomorecurse.tv. So you can go to nomorecurse.tv. You can go to experiencehim.org, and there are we've received and freely we give. So we don't really sell anything except for the hard copies of books, if you want that, and we're working on all the electronic copies. We have books on the store there. There's one in particular that I might bring up to your attention. If you're a minister, there's a ministry edition of Pressed Beyond Measure. It's a word that God gave me when I was unusually overwhelmed in a situation in the ministry. And the Lord, I heard the Lord say to me, I'm in the floor praying, weeping, and the Lord said to me, don't let Satan press you out of your measure. And he brought up in Corinthians where Paul says, we despaired even of life, pressed beyond measure. And he began to talk to me about the measure. The Apostle Paul said, we will not boast beyond our measure. It's a measure that's reached as far as unto you, meaning his territory. And he said, when your faith is increased, we believe our measure will be increased beyond you. He wrote in Ephesians, the effectual working of the measure of every part. And he pointed out to me that the measure was our ministry assignment, the scope and sphere of the territory of our ministry grace, and that all this pressure is designed to get you to be pressed beyond measure. In other words, that you will shrink back, pull back, protect yourself, and not get the full measure of your assignment done. And that's really what this podcast has been about today. It's not going to take one of us doing more than we're called to do. It's going to take every one of us doing all we're called to do. So if you want to get online and order any of those resources, there's a lot of them are there. The Anointing of Increase, What Would You Do If You Knew You Could Not Fail, Invisible Strength. There's all kind of books for that will help ministers and folks alike. We just had a guy read a little mini book of ours called Living in the Now Season. He came extremely discouraged to our ministers' conference last June. Power of God came on him. They were stuck to the floor for a while. He got that little mini book, Living in the Now Season. People told him, quit, give up. He's an older man. A few months ago, I found out in Guyana, South America, he took that book and read it and said, by God, I can do this. And why am I waiting? I'm going to start now. And the church is about 3 months old, started a church in Guyana, South America, and it's already running about 200 people, and they're doing great work.
Praise
so
God.
One word from God can birth something brand new. And so I would encourage you, feed your faith, because it'll move mountains. It's the victory that overcomes the world. So thank you for the opportunity, Brother Daniel. We're all preachers. You did such an excellent job hosting this. I try to host programs like this, and you know, the preach comes out a lot.
So
let me share my gift.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful for your time, Pastor Tracy. Thank you for joining us. This has been rich. I hope we can do it again one day by God's grace.
Absolutely.
And have a blessed rest of your week and happy holidays, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family. And we'll look forward to seeing what God does in 2022.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's coming. We're walking to the new by 2022. So you expect some great things and expansion on your end as well. And as we talked about, our heart wrapping around you, blessing to your family. There's a family blessing. So it's certainly one there for you.
Amen. God bless you, sir. We'll see you next time.
Amen. Love you. Bless you.